good songs to remind us what Christ our Savior has done for us and why we should be praising Him. Have your Bibles this morning, if you will, open to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, we're taking a break from my preaching series in Revelation. I thought it would be good for us to consider the roles or the role of churches and missionaries as we find it in the Bible. So we are in Acts chapter 13. You know that Linda and I are preparing to head to Zambia to go as missionaries, and we've never done this before. We've never been missionaries before. 15 years ago, I had never pastored a local church before either. But God has blessed us in so many ways, allowing us to serve Him, to try to bless others with His Word and with the life He has given us. And so since this missionary thing is new to us, we're learning a great deal as we go. A couple weeks ago, Linda and I were in New Hampshire for our missionary orientation. We learned a lot, and we're still trying to process all of it. It was a lot of information given us, but it was really, we believe it was really helpful to us, both for deputation and for when we get on the mission field. And one area that we saw from Scripture while we were there that was is the relationship between missionaries and their sending church. Linda and I will probably, hopefully, have many supporting churches as we go to Africa, but we will only have one sending church, and that's you, the Hyde Park Baptist Church. So I want to begin this morning by apologizing to you in that I have not done a very good job in the past of explaining our ongoing relationship between me and Linda and all of you while we are on the mission field. Our situation, going from pastoring a local church to the mission field, is not the norm. Normally, it's an individual in a church, under the leadership of the pastor and elders, who goes off to the mission field. So usually when a pastor leaves a church, he's usually going to another church. And so his attention is there. That's his new flock. And the old church, the church that he left, has a new pastor. And they focus on him. And they kind of do their own thing separately. And that's probably the way that it needs to be. The previous pastor is focusing on his new community, his new setting, while the old church, in a sense, cuts ties with him and begins working and growing under the leadership of the new pastor. But this is not what should happen when Linda and I go off to Africa. Why do I say that? Because it's biblical. So let's look at our text this morning, Acts chapter 13. We'll read the first 5 verses. Acts chapter 13. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. This is Saul, who we know as the Apostle Paul. So as I continue talking about it, I'll probably be calling him Paul, but that's the Saul that is here. Verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. And from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they had arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John to assist them. And here in Scripture, we have the first biblical account of gospel missionaries being commissioned and sent out by God, sent out by the local church to do God's work among the Gentiles. And as we begin talking about missionaries, that they are not called missionaries in this passage, but certainly that's what they were, we need to be clear about what missionaries are and what missionaries do. It's become common in our day and age for Christians in America to refer to themselves as missionaries whenever they do anything outside of the local church. But that's not the true definition of a missionary. The true and accurate definition of a missionary is someone who leaves their homeland and takes the gospel to the people of a foreign country. So there is a going out to a different culture. And that's exactly what we see Paul and Barnabas doing in this text. Now, earlier in Acts, we saw the Apostle Peter traveling from Jerusalem to Caesarea. The Holy Spirit sent him to proclaim the gospel to an Italian, Cornelius. He was in the Roman military. The Holy Spirit sent him to this man who lived in a different city to proclaim to him the gospel. But Peter did not go out as a missionary. He went out as an evangelist because he was not traveling to a different country or a different culture. He was doing some of the work of a missionary, the beginning work of a missionary, but as an evangelist. An individual can do what a missionary does when a missionary goes to a foreign country, but if they do it in their homeland, they would properly be defined as a pastor, a church planter, or an evangelist. I think that Christians have probably been influenced in the past several years by thinking that anything we do outside of the church's missionary work, we've probably been influenced by the Mormons. You know, the Mormons, it's common for their young men, once they reach a certain age, to go out for 2 years. They call it missionary service in the United States. And some go to foreign countries, but you see them all the time on the streets of our city. They're from America, okay? They call it mission work. Words are important, and we need to be clear to know what words really mean as we define them. You look at Webster's Dictionary of 1962, it says a missionary is specifically a person sent out by their church to preach, teach, and proselyte, to make disciples, in a foreign country, especially in a country that's considered heathen. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary, missionary is a person who is sent into a foreign country to do religious work. And of course, we can trust Wikipedia, the expert on everything. They get this one right. From Wikipedia, a Christian missionary can be defined as one who is sent to witness across cultures to form a viable indigenous church planting movement. Indigenous means indigenous to a different, it means local to a different culture, to a different people. Jesus instructed the apostles to make disciples of all nations, Matthew chapter 28. This is referred to by Christians as the Great Commission, and it inspires missionary work. Another thing that may have shaped our idea that every Christian is a missionary is that song you may have learned, Be a Missionary Every Day. Very popular in vacation Bible school and Sunday school classes. How many of you have heard it? Be a missionary every day. Tell the world that Jesus is the way, be it in your town or country, or the busy avenue, Africa or Asia. The task is up to you, so be, you're supposed to clap, be a missionary every... But here's the problem with that. You see, if every Christian is a missionary, then nobody's a missionary. The word becomes meaningless. There's no distinction to it. But it's also important to remember this about missionaries. Missionaries are not more important than other believers. They're not special. God has just given them a different task to do in a different area. The believers should be, that all of us should be doing, taking the gospel. That was the charge of the Holy Spirit to Paul and Barnabas. Send them out to do the work to which I've called them to do. So what did Paul and Barnabas immediately do? Well, as missionaries, they sailed off to Cyprus, an island in the Mediterranean Sea, a different country. You read further down in this chapter, they left there, they went to Pamphylia, then to Pisidia, then to Iconium, next Lystra, Syria, they finally ended up back in Jerusalem. That was the Apostle Paul's first missionary journey. He later made two others. And that's God's charge to missionaries. That's their ministry, that's their work. But leaving their home church, Antioch was at this time was the home church of Paul and Barnabas. They were serving in the church. Leave that, go to a foreign land, a foreign culture, take the gospel, make disciples, plant churches. But I want to see the relationship between the missionaries and their sending church. First, in this text, we see the identity or the characteristics of a missionary. But missionaries are to be active in serving the Lord first in their local church. Verse 1 says there were prophets and teachers in the church of Antioch, and Barnabas is listed first, and Saul, Paul, is listed last. So they were busy working in the church. They were preaching. They were teaching. They were ministering. They were in the local church. They belonged to it. They had joined themselves to it. They were serving their fellow believers in the local church. And I think that's instructive for all of us as we consider what type of an individual does God call to the mission field. First, that individual needs to be demonstrating that they are busy serving the Lord in the place He has them now before they go off and do it in a foreign land. Many people feel called by God to go and plant churches in a foreign land, but they've never planted a church here. They've never preached here. They don't even do much evangelism work here. And so, you're going to go do one in a foreign country and you've never done it here? We need to be careful about that. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas obviously had proven themselves faithful in the local church. A couple chapters earlier, you read it, you see that the Apostle Paul had proclaimed the gospel in Damascus and in Jerusalem. And so during this time, prior to this call of the Holy Spirit, God had been preparing Paul and Barnabas to take the gospel to a foreign land, to foreign people. In verse 2, Acts chapter 13, we find the church in Antioch worshiping, fasting together as the body of Christ. And as they devoted themselves to the Lord, the Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, "Separate, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul to the work for which I have called them." And so we see in the life of a missionary, there must be a call, just as to be a pastor or to teach God's word or to be an evangelist. God needs to call a person into that specific work. God doesn't call any of us to share the gospel. He has commanded all of us to be sharing the gospel. But in these positions of responsibility and authority, there needs to be a specific call from God, because there needs to be a specific gifting by God for a person to be able to fulfill these areas of ministry. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we don't take this responsibility upon ourselves. We don't go under our own authority or our own desire. We must be called and equipped by God for whatever the particular work He calls us. Missionaries, someone who goes to be a missionary, should have already demonstrated themselves to be capable at preaching and teaching God's word, sharing the gospel, a heart for the lost. And we're told in this chapter that the Holy Spirit called Paul and Barnabas. The church that they were in was to set them apart to do this ministry of missions. See, the Holy Spirit didn't send everyone out to do mission work. The others in the church were to remain where they were, faithfully in serving God in whatever task He had given them. They all had different jobs. And Paul writes about that later in his letter to the church in Corinth, that we're all individually members of one body. And in the local body, God has appointed all the members in the roles to which He is pleased. We need everyone in the local church. If all of us were pastors, preachers, who would be listening? So whatever God has given you to do in the local church, that is important. That's your calling. That's how you serve the Lord. That's how you bless others and make the church healthy. In verse 3 again, we find the church again, after the Spirit said, "Send them out," we find them fasting and praying. Well, what's that all about? Well, it's kind of how it started in verse 2. So these passages show us that the early church was very dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Remember, at that time, they didn't have the New Testament to guide them. They had the Old Testament scriptures, and they had the Holy Spirit. So they relied upon the Old Testament and the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit of God to show them what they were to do. And it's a shame that many churches today don't do that anymore. Well, we've got the whole Bible. We know what the Bible says, so we don't need the Holy Spirit. We just do what the Bible says. And again, that's a shame. We can start to function and live in our Christian life simply on a basis of what we know to be true from God's Word, and ignore the Holy Spirit. But if we do that, if we neglect the Holy Spirit, and we proceed in our own wisdom, our own learning, even if it's biblically shaped, we're not going to be led by God. So we must rely upon the Holy Spirit. We know what prayer is. Prayer is talking to God. It's waiting on God. And it's best to pray to God after we have heard from Him by reading His Word. We're told twice in these first three verses that this early church was fasting. What is fasting? Most of you know what fasting is. Typically, it's when you deny yourself food for a period of time. It can be a day, part of a day, a week. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Why would you do that? Why would you go without eating? Especially when food is so tasty and it's nourishing. It seems that fasting, from what we read in God's Word, both the Old Testament and the New, it seems that fasting is an important spiritual exercise. We think of times when people would fast, quite often when they were in danger, quite often when they needed specific instruction from God. Now, there's nothing magical about fasting. It doesn't force God's hand to do what we want Him to do. But when a Christian fasts with pure motives and they're fasting to know God's will and to serve Him, or if we fast because we find ourselves in a precarious situation and we need the supernatural help of God, it seems that our fasting and our prayers together often seem to move God and empower Him to work in supernatural ways. Sometimes we should be fasting for ourselves. Often we should be fasting for others, for God to intervene in their life. It seems to be a way of showing God that, hey, I'm serious about this. It matters to me. I care about it. It's important. God, I need your help. I need your help because I'm powerless to make this happen. I can't help myself. God, I need your help. And I believe that churches and believers today would be spiritually stronger if we would seriously pray and fast. Seek God's face. Seek God's will in our own lives. We read also in verse 3 that after the church fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on Paul and Barnabas and sent them off. Laid their hands on them. What's that all about? Why would they do that? Well, first, I believe they were led to do it by the Spirit of God. They also had the example in the Old Testament of laying on of hands. Sometimes this laying on of hands is a commissioning. When an individual is chosen or commissioned by God for a specific work, they required the individual to be filled and led by the Spirit of God. Moses was told by God to lay his hands on Joshua. When Joshua was appointed to be the next leader to take Moses' place to lead the nation of Israel. But the laying on of hands was often also used by God to signify a transference, a passing on from one person to another. With Moses, he was passing the leadership position from himself to Joshua. In the Old Testament, the high priest was to lay his hands on the head of the animal that was to be sacrificed, signifying that the sin of the people was transferred to the animal who was going to be killed and offered on the altar of God in their place. In the New Testament, Jesus laid his hands on individuals and healing power was transferred from him to them. They were healed, demons were cast out, the dead were raised. And in some specific instances here in the early days of the church, the Holy Spirit came upon certain believers, certain individuals, as the apostles laid their hands on them. But why are they laying their hands on Paul and Barnabas? We assume, we know that they had been filled with the Holy Spirit. They had been brought to salvation. There may have been many reasons for it, but it seems as if at this time, in this place, in this way, as the church laid their hands on these two men, the church was imparting their approval, their endorsement, even their own ministry, that they were doing in Antioch, they were passing that on to Paul and Barnabas to do the same thing wherever they would travel. They were sending Paul and Barnabas out from them into other lands by God's direction to do the work of the local church among Gentiles. They were commissioning them as members and agents of this local church to go out and serve the Lord in faraway regions. And Linda and I hope that you understand what we're doing as we go to Africa in the same manner as what we read here. You see, I didn't just wake up one morning and decide, I want to go to Africa, be a missionary. Hopefully, all of you who know us, hopefully you can see our change of ministry location from Hyde Park to Zambia as the work and the calling of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. If you who know us, you who have been sitting under our ministry for the past however many years, if you can't see, if you don't believe that the Lord has prepared us for this specific work in missions, then either God's not calling us to be missionaries, or you haven't been watching God's work in our lives closely enough. Obviously, we believe, that God is preparing and calling us to move from here to Africa. Why do I think that God wants me to go and strengthen churches and pastors in Zambia for at least the next 4 years? Because that's exactly what I've been doing in Hyde Park for the past 14 years. Training, preaching, teaching. It's what I did not as a pastor, but in different roles. It's what I did in our previous church for however many years we were there and in the church before that. God has equipped and called me to preach and to teach God's word, to make disciples, to strengthen believers, to proclaim the gospel. That's what we've been doing here among all of you, and it's what we're going to be doing in Zambia. The location will be different. The people will be different. The culture will be different. But we hope that all of you who have been with us for these past many years can see that this is God's hands on our life as He's moving us to a different area, a different field of service. But it's also important for me and Linda, for Linda and me, I think is the correct grammar. It's important for us that you do not think of us as leaving you and leaving the work, the ministry of Hyde Park Baptist Church. Because we're not going to Africa on our own will or volition. Just like Paul and Barnabas, we're going to Zambia as an extension of the ministry of Hyde Park Baptist Church, what God is doing here. Yes, we are going out from you, but we are also going out as one of you. We're continuing the work that God is doing here in Hyde Park. We're taking that work and doing it in Zambia. We are not walking away from you, separating from you, but we are being sent out by you as we serve God there. We will continue to be members with you of the Hyde Park Baptist Church. So seeing it that way is a completely different perspective than a pastor and his wife pulling up roots and moving off somewhere else, doing their own thing apart from the local church. Yes, we will be far away. Yes, our ministry will be on a different continent with different people. But we are going there to serve the Lord and to serve you. We are going as one of you, not independent from you. And so your work, your lives, your service for Christ will be carried on in Africa as you have built into our lives while we've been here for God's glory. You continue to read through the book of Acts, you'll see that Paul and Barnabas, after this missionary trip was completed, they returned to the local church. When they got back, to report back to the believers in Antioch, to tell them what the Lord had done through them as they faithfully proclaimed the gospel in other lands. Being sent out by the Holy Spirit from the church in Antioch as emissaries of the local church, Paul and Barnabas still had a responsibility to this local church. We read in chapter 14, verse 24, when then the ending of this mission trip. Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. So at the end of this missionary trip, Paul and Barnabas come back to their local church. And when, verse 27, and when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles, and they remained no little time with the disciples. And Paul also returned back to the same church in Antioch after his second missionary trip, gave them a report of the Holy Spirit's work. Read that in chapter 18. So I want you to see is that their connection to their home church, their sending church, did not end when they went off as missionaries. It was maintained and it was renewed when they returned back. And that's certainly Linda, and that's mine and Linda's intentions as we go off to Zambia when we return home. And today, this intimate connection between missionaries and their home church is often lost. The church doesn't see that the missionaries that they send out has a responsibility to them and is accountable to their sending church. One reason for that may be because of the work and the formation of mission boards in America. It used to be an individual felt a call of God to be a missionary, and just like we read in chapter 13, the local church commissions them and sends them out. Well, today we have mission boards. Linda and I have been accepted by full-time missionaries by the mission organization IBM Global, Independent Baptist Missions Global. We've joined their organization as missionaries, but that does not change our relationship to you or to Hyde Park Baptist Church. The mission board is not our sending agency. You are. The mission board, well, that leads some people to ask, well, then why do you need a mission board at all? Why can't the local church just send you out the way that they did Paul and Barnabas here? And that's a good. Those are good questions. Is there a need for mission organizations today that work apart from churches but with churches? One very important practical reason for mission boards today is because we live in a very different world than the Apostle Paul lived in 2,000 years ago. Paul lived, and Barnabas and this first church, they lived in a time when the various nations and regions of all that part of the world had been homogenized by the spread and the use of the Greek language. So wherever Paul traveled, even to foreign nations, as long as he spoke Greek, the majority of the people would be able to understand him. Also, since the Apostle Paul was a Roman citizen, that entire Europe and the Middle East and Asia was controlled by the Roman Empire. The Apostle Paul was a Roman citizen. Because he was a Roman citizen, he had complete freedom to travel anywhere in the empire that he wanted to go. He had rights, he had abilities. It didn't matter the ethnicity, the culture, the nationality of the people. As a Roman citizen, he was entitled to travel wherever he wanted. We don't have that luxury today. Now, there are churches in America that do operate as a sending agency, and they do commission and equip and send out their own people as missionaries to foreign lands. But those churches have intentionally done that. They've done the work that's needed to be able to do that. They've made preparations to have experience to equip and to prepare and authorize individuals to go work in the gospel in foreign countries. Our church, the Hyde Park Baptist Church, does not have the experience, the expertise, or the ability to properly send missionaries to a foreign land. So what can a mission organization do that a local church can't do? A lot of things. They can train missionaries to speak a foreign language to where they're going. They can train and equip missionaries to live in a culture that is completely different than what the missionary has grown up in. They give them tools, a mindset, a different to be able to think like the people think in the culture to which they're going. Most churches can't do that. Mission organizations can handle the incredibly complex and frustrating technical work of preparing and handling all the details of various income tax requirements that missionaries face when they are financed in the United States and work abroad. Most local churches aren't prepared or equipped to do that. And there's also the necessity that when you go as an American citizen and work in a foreign country, many other nations require passports and visas and authorization to do mission work in another country. There are many countries that will not let any missionary come in unless they operate, unless they're associated with a mission board that has a license to operate in that foreign country. So we as a local church cannot do that. And there are many other things that mission boards do to help and assist and prepare missionaries to get on the foreign field that local churches can't do. So the accomplishment of missions today, foreign missions, generally requires the assistance of both the local church, sending church, and the mission board. Linda and I are not going out to Zambia as representatives of IBM Global. We are going out as representatives of the Hyde Park Baptist Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. When we are in Africa, when we are serving on the field, our first level of responsibility is not to IBM Global, it is to you. If someone hears that Linda and I are doing something unethical or unbiblical on the field, and someone reports it back to IBM Global, the first thing they will do is place a phone call to you, to Hyde Park Baptist Church, and say, you need to handle this because this is your missionary that is on the field. IBM Global helps us raise financial support from other churches and individuals. They help us get there and minister there quickly. And yet they recognize that our first, as missionaries, our first level of responsibility is to our sending church. Not all mission boards work that way. Some of the really large mission boards, extremely well organized, they do consider themselves to be the sending agency of the missionaries, and they require the missionaries to be totally accountable to them while they're on the field. I don't see that modeled in the Bible. Thankfully, Linda and I are thankful that IBM Global does follow the biblical principles of missions and the local church. But that brings up another important distinction about the relationship between ourselves and all of you as we go off to Africa. Right now, by God's leading, by God's choice, Robert and I are your elders. We're your biblical elders. I stand as the preaching and teaching elder, primarily. God has given Robert and myself responsibility for the oversight of the believers in this local church. He has given us authority, biblical rule over you to lead you and to exercise faithful, loving, biblical rule over you as we function together as a local church. God has clearly established different levels of authority and responsibility in the local church. Right now, I am your overseer. When Linda and I go to Africa, that's going to change. When Linda and I go to Africa, I will no longer be an authority over you. I will be one of you. We will be one of you who is under the authority of whoever the next pastor is here in this church. So I hope that what I've tried to explain this morning and what we've read from God's Word helps all of us to understand what our ongoing relationship will be when we go to Africa. So please don't think that we are removing ourselves from all of you to go do something different. Rather, we believe the Lord is separating us apart from you to do His work, to continue the work of Hyde Park Baptist Church in Zambia. And as much as is possible, while we are separated by several thousand miles, seven different time zones, we will continue to be a part of this church, a part of you. We're not going to be doing our own thing there. We will be working for you and with you in God's work over there. And we will keep in touch with all of you as much as you want through all of the modern technologies that God has provided. We'll be regularly reporting back to you, our sending church, what the Lord is doing there, how He is using us, what we are learning, the blessings that He is giving. We will be inviting you to come and join us in Zambia as you are able and as the Lord leads and provides. But again, if while we are on the field you ever hear of us doing anything that is in conflict with the biblical principles, statement of faith, the practices, the confessions of our local church here. It's your responsibility, it's your duty to call us on that. Because we represent you as we serve the Lord in Zambia. So I hope you get a sense of the partnership that Saul and Barnabas had with their local church, the partnership that we believe we need to continue as we go off. We as a local church, we are already in the process of seeking the Lord's will as He brings the next pastor to us. Please continue to pray about this. And as the leadership of the church starts making decisions or having options, you'll be the first to know, and you will have the final say-so in the man, the family that God brings as the next pastor here. It looks like for me and Linda to get to Africa on the time schedule that we would like to by next January, we have to raise a lot of additional financial support. And that will require us probably to be presenting God's work in Zambia at other churches on Sundays and Wednesdays. So there, between now and the end of the year, I more frequently will be out of the pulpit. So I'm asking all of you in my absence to continue to be faithful to this, your local church, to listen to honor whoever it is that is standing in here when I'm not here. Please pray for me and Linda that the Lord would bring in the finances quickly. We don't know exactly how God's going to do this. We don't know His time schedule. We're shooting for January. But my goal would be that the Lord would bring the finances that we need in very quickly so that for the rest of the year, we can continue to enjoy our time here with you, serving you Sunday by Sunday. But there's a million things that need to happen. We need to sell our home. We need to sell our cars. We need to clear a lot of clutter out and so many other things. Please pray that God would guide us, that He would lead us, He would keep us focused on the right things, that we would do all of this smoothly and properly. I'm trusting that between now and January, on some Sunday, we will have a commissioning service here, the way we saw the church in Antioch lay their hands on Paul and Barnabas. I'm trusting that we will have all of you lay your hands on us as you send us out to do the work for which God has called us. We want all of this to happen according to God's will. We want it to occur by His leading and by His strength. In His perfect timing, we want to do it in a way that's glorifying to Him. We really want you to know, we hope you know, Linda and I hope that you know, that we treasure each and every one of you. We are so thankful for how God has used and is using you in our lives every week. The incredibly valuable, forever part of our lives that you've become. You are God's, you are our joy and crown. I'm learning what Paul meant when he wrote that about some of the people in one of his churches. We want to enjoy every minute we have remaining before we go off to Africa. We trust that the Lord will even now be preparing us to, using us to prepare you for the next pastor. Because this church is not about Linda and me. This church is not about you or your family. This church is about Jesus Christ. We are His church. We all together make up the local church. We are God's work. We are God's field, God's harvest, God's laborers, co-laborers in His field. So let us continue to serve the Lord together, whether we are together or whether we are apart, for God's glory. And for the sake of the gospel. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You that You have in Your Word given us an example of the relationship between churches and their missionaries that they send out. For showing us that it's the work of Your Holy Spirit. That You equip and send individuals into different regions. And You do the same thing in the local church. And all of us together, equally, are to be partnering in Your work wherever You have us. Father, I praise You for Your work here in Hyde Park. Lord, you've been so good to us. You are so good to us. You've blessed us in so many ways. You've kept us by your word. You've strengthened our faith. You've increased and developed the bond of love that we have for each other. So, Lord, we pray that you will continue this. Not only continue it, Lord, you will magnify it and expand it as we change as a local church with a different pastor. But Lord, with the same call, the same purpose, the same love for you and for your gospel and for your people. Lord, thank you, and we ask you to continue to bless. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.